Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by Baylife Church, Port Stephens. We hope you find this message challenges and inspires you in your daily Christian walk. For more information, visit www.baylifechurch.org.au.
But we've been running a series in our evening service called Running with the Giants. And this has been really cool. We've been kind of looking at some of the ancients of our faith and really kind of getting an understanding and an insight into these people that are really, I suppose, pillars of our faith and pillars of the Bible. And we're really kind of looking at the incredible things that God has done through ordinary people. And which is really encouraging to me. I really like that. I love that we've been able to explore these awesome things that God has done through everyday people. And so it's there to encourage us, but it's also there to inspire us. And I hope that what it does is actually inspire you to get your own revelation of what these people mean for your life. Because really what this is about tonight, I'm sharing on Moses, which I'm really excited about. But the reality is that in half an hour, we can't barely begin to, you know, summarize someone's life in that kind of way. So this isn't, and these, all of these messages, they're not the key facts of Moses. They're not the autobiography. But what this is it's actually, as preachers, just our little revelation thing. If we got to run a lap with one of these people, what might they say to us on that short moment in time? So what this is tonight is actually just, what would Moses share with us if we just got to spend maybe, you know, a 4-minute laugh with Moses? What might he impart to us? So it's not the Bible's guide to Moses, but it's actually just, you know, what would he say if he could just say a couple of things to us? What would he share with us? And so I'm excited about that, but because the story of Moses extends from Exodus all the way through Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and we still hear him about him in the New Testament. So he's this huge figure, and in some regards I feel like I've bitten off a little bit more than I can chew picking Moses. I thought Moses will be easy, and then I thought, hang on a sec, that's actually going to be quite a challenge. But so these are my thoughts from having spent my own little bit of time just reading the story of Moses, hearing about his story and what he went through. So I'm going to give you some background to that. But first, let's pray and let's just ask God's anointing on this time. God, we do thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is alive. God, we thank you that your word is your living word to us. And so, God, we just pray that in this time, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would teach us, Lord, what it means to know you more. And so, God, we thank you for this and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So who is Moses? Moses is a cool dude. He was born a Hebrew in Egypt at a time where Pharaoh declared all newborns were to be thrown into the Nile. Now, that's kind of hairy, and it's a dire situation, but his mother saw something special in Moses, and I'm not quite sure what that was, but given that Moses was actually her second son, so she obviously looked at him and thought, yep, I made this one better than I made the first one. We're going to keep this one for a little bit, and then she put him into the Nile in a basket, which is a phenomenal story. Moses was then picked up out of the Nile by Pharaoh's family, which is a phenomenal situation for him to be in. He then grew up in Pharaoh's house before getting booted out of that house for doing something that Pharaoh didn't like. He ended up in some faraway land, met a cool guy called Jethro. Jethro was so cool that he actually offered his daughter to Moses, and that's a cool guy. He was obviously thought pretty highly of Moses as well. And then Moses, which we might know the story how it picks up from here, is that Moses encountered God at this burning bush. And from there, this incredible experience for Moses took place where he got the call of God on his life to lead God's chosen people out of Egypt into the promised land. And I think it's just phenomenal. If we just kind of look at it that way, Moses' story is really a phenomenal experience. But I just want to highlight that in Exodus 3, that's just where we're going to turn to, the moment that God calls Moses. So at the time, Moses is tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law now. And what happens is that the Lord appeared to him being Moses, in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I don't know what Moses' kind of hierarchy of safety was, but for some reason Moses thought, I'm going to go there, I'm going to check out that flame. And he said, I will go over and as a firefighter. That's just not a, I don't approve of Moses' actions in that moment. but God had a bigger plan. So that's all right. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Moses, what are you thinking? Why does the bush not burn up? I wonder if Moses at that point thought, man, I wish I knew what I was getting myself into. I wonder if he thinks back about that. So when the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. That's a really important moment. That's a really important moment that Moses says, here I am. Goes on. God then says to Moses, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face. That kind of tells me that Moses already had known something about this God. For him to associate the fact that this is the God of my father. God's kind of saying, I'm going to give you a point that you can identify with here. I'm going to say, I'm the God of your father. Moses says, oh yeah, I know that one. I know that. I've heard about that guy. That's important too. But what I love about this, because God then kind of pitches to Moses his grand plan to save the Israelites out of Egypt. And he talks about how he's going to use his mighty hand, how he's going to perform incredible miracles. And this is awesome, but I want to focus tonight on just kind of this, maybe this prelude part, because I just had a thought, if I was running a lap with Moses, what's the first thing that he might say? And I reckon the first thing, based on this first little bit of scripture here, is I reckon the first thing that Moses would say to us, if we just got to run a short little lap with him, I reckon the first thing that he'd say is that God wants to use you. God wants to use you for his plan. More importantly, God can use you. God can use you. What I love about this is that Moses is an against all odds kind of story. Really, Moses is an against all odds kind of story. Why? Because Moses was meant to be dead. Moses wasn't meant to survive the Nile. Like Pharaoh had said, I want all these guys, I want all these newborns killed, but Moses survives. I wrote this down. Moses is the story of a man with a disability of speech who should have died as a child, but yet grew up in a household not knowing his biological family, as an alien in a home where his family, his people, were his slaves. Which is crazy. Who was then outcast by his family to a foreign land, only to return full of the Spirit to stand up to an emperor of the age, to perform miraculous wonders, and then lead a 600,000 men strong group of refugees through drought, battle, famine, to the promised land, all because in the very beginning of all of that, he said, here I am. Here I am. Church, I'll just imagine if we could just have a here I am moment with God. Because the truth is that God's calling your name. The truth is God's calling your name. When we walk into this building and we experience the presence of God, that's God saying, I want to use you. I want to use you for my purpose. I want to use you to build my kingdom. And the response, all it starts with is us saying, here I am. Here I am. Imagine what could happen if we had a here I am moment with God. See, Moses had to come to this realization where his inadequacies were not impossibilities for God. It goes on to talk about Moses said that, God, I'm not eloquent. God, I'm slow in speech and I'm slow in tongue. I don't have the skills to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. But God says, don't you know who I am? God says to Moses, don't you know who I am? I created man in his mouth. I decide whether they're mute or whether they speak. I decide whether they're deaf or they can hear. I decide whether man can see or man can be blind. God says, this is not an impossibility for me. And we need to understand that God doesn't work on our level of self-perception. God doesn't attribute your value by the way you do. God's not looking at you thinking, man, I wish they were a little bit taller. Man, what was wrong with my blueprint that day when I made that person? God's not thinking about that. God's saying, if you just say, here I am, I can use that. I can use that. If you say, here I am. And I think in this moment where Moses kind of realized that his inadequacies weren't impossibilities, he's kind of gone from a believer of God to a doer of his will. You know, I just remember this key moment in my journey. Once I finished school and kind of was keen to get involved in church, and I kind of went through this phase, I suppose, where my relationship with God was no longer what can God do for my life, but rather what can God do through my life. And I think that's such an important stage for all of us to say, you know what, God will continue to do awesome things for my life. But the reality is God wants to do something through your life. God wants to do something through your relationship with Him, not just kind of have this one way kind of, God, keep blessing me, God, keep blessing me. But imagine if we started channeling our prayers, God, I just pray you'd bless my neighbor down the road who's gone through a hard time. God, I pray for your intervention in my school. God, I just pray for your... Starting to think, God, I want you to be used through my life, not just have this relationship for my life. And I think where it all starts is us saying, God, here I am. Not just coming to take a look, not just coming to just look and see what God's doing, but God saying, God, here I am, I want to be part of it. The first thing that Moses would say is, God can use you. God wants to use you. The second thing I think Moses would say is hold on to God tighter than what He's promised you. Now, I want to expand that a little bit. Hold on to God tighter than what He's called you to. There came a point in the journey for Moses and the Israelites where God told Moses that you're not actually going to go to the promised land anymore. Now, that's heavy days, right? I reckon Moses probably jumped in on this agreement for this perspective of this promised land, land of milk and honey, land of freedom. Land of prosperity, land of goodness. That sounds good. But God then said to Moses, hey, actually, you're not going to get there. You're not going to make it there. You'd only see it from a distance. You only look at it from afar. And at that point, I thought, well, wow, Moses, wouldn't Moses be disheartened? Wouldn't he think, wow, this didn't turn out the way that it was promised to me. This didn't turn out the way that I thought it was going to go. I thought that I was going to get there. I've been on this journey, this 40-year journey with these people, with these around and around a mountain. Do you not know what I've had to go through with these people, walking through the desert, you know, performing miracles, fighting battles, surviving famine and drought, all these awful hardships. You know, Moses was the mediator for the Israel. He was their mediator between God. And I would have thought, God, aren't I of enough value? Yeah, I've been with you all this time. I've been with these people all this time. Aren't I of enough value to get there? He was their teacher. He was their leader. He served them faithfully. But still, he was told he wouldn't enter the promised land. I wonder if you've ever felt the same. I wonder if you've ever felt a similar sense of disappointment. Or maybe a sense of, this isn't working out how I thought it was going to work out. Maybe, I wonder if you've ever seen that from afar with your family or thought, God, you promised me prosperity, but I feel like I'm living in poverty. God, you promised me health and fullness, but I'm facing sickness. You promised me that you'd be near, but I feel like you're distant. I wonder if you've ever felt that kind of sense of disappointment and this kind of sense of, God, I've been faithful to you and this is what I get. I've been faithful, I've been serving, and this is my lot. This is what I'm going to get. This isn't the plan. But the truth is, Moses was faithful. Moses was faithful. But what I love is the way that in the New Testament it commends him for this, but it actually gives us hope. I want to read this through from Hebrews, and this is what I love. Hebrews tells us this, along with talking about many other ancestors of our faith. In Hebrews 11:24, it said, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. I love this. It keeps going on and says, by faith he left Egypt. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, and when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell. And it goes on, and I love this because it said these people. So other people of their faith have been through the same experience of disappointment. It says these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. But here's the truth. In verse 40, it says this to us, that God had a better plan. That God had a better plan. God, and we think, God, I've been faithful to you, but this hasn't gone to plan. Church, there's something that we can learn from Moses, to hold on to God tighter than what he's promised us. Because the truth is this, for Moses, the promised land wasn't the main thing. God was the main thing. God was the main thing. The promised land wasn't the reward. God is the reward. And in Exodus, in chapter 33, it says, and this is an example, this is how we know of Moses' desperation, what Moses' reward truly is. In Exodus 33, it says, God, if you don't go with me, then I'm not leaving this place. Talking about, I'm not going any further, God, unless you're with me. I can't take it any further unless you're with me. It tells me that the promised land wasn't the main thing, because if it was, we might be able to do it on our own strength. If that's what we're trying to get to, then maybe we can do that in our own strength. But the truth is that God is saying, what Moses is saying is, God, you are the reward. Even if I have nothing left, you're the main thing. See, it's actually holding on to God that's going to get us through disappointment. It's actually holding on to Him, making Him our reward, making Him our goal that gets us through disappointment. I want to read this to you because this is the kind of flagship of our series. Just as the band comes, because we're going to close shortly. But the main verse that we've been using for this passage is Hebrews 12. And it's a fantastic scripture, but I just want to draw attention to what precedes it. Hebrews 12 starts off like this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, let me pause there. Because there's something powerful here. And I believe, I say this to our youth every time I preach, but I believe if we can get this into our spirit, it's going to change your life. If we can understand this, holding on to God, it's going to change your life. Let's have a look at this. The last part of Hebrews chapter 11 says that these people were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. And here we go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, those witnesses being people who had experienced disappointment, people who had been faithful to God but not received the promise that they thought they were going to get, but because God was their reward. Therefore, since we are surrounded by these people following their example, let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us throw off our disappointment. Let us throw off our grief. Let us throw off our sin. Let us throw off our pride. Let us throw off our self-perception or our seeming inadequacies. Why? So that we can run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such oppression from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Church, the second thing Moses would say to us is hold on to God tighter than what we feel like we're called to do. Hold on to him. He is our reward. But I feel like if Moses could say one last thing to us, just as our lap's done, we're heading to the sheds, I reckon the last thing Moses would just point out to us is and say, hey, Jesus is the main thing. Jesus is the main thing. Jesus is the main thing. He's our reward. I just love how this verse ends. In John 6:35, Jesus is the main thing. John chapter 6 says, he is the bread of life. He is our sustenance. He is our source of energy. He is our daily provision. He is the bread of life, our every meal. Jesus is the main thing. It's in His victory that we can take heart, we can take our strength. And I love this. How do we run with perseverance? How do we continue on despite disappointment? Because the truth is, once Moses found out that he wasn't going to go to the promised land, there was still a journey to complete. There was still work to be done. He still had to fight on from that disappointment. I think for us, the last thing Moses would say to us is say, hey, Jesus is the main thing. How do we press on? Consider Him. Consider Jesus, who endured such oppression for us, so that we would not grow weary and lose heart. We consider Him. Jesus is the main thing. Jesus is the main thing. Come on, church, can we just pray together just to close off tonight? God, we thank You for Moses. God, we thank You for the incredible journey. God, we thank You that there is so much truth in this story. God, I just pray now for Bay Life Church. God, I just pray that we would be able to consider Jesus. God, we thank You that You are our hope. All of our hope is in You. God, we thank You that we can trust in You. God, I thank You that we can hold on to You, that You are our reward. God, we thank You for this time. We thank You for this space. God, we thank You for Your love for us. And God, we lift up Your name above all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Matt. That was amazing. I think we're going to finish with a song. Yeah, let's do it. Let's jump up to our feet and let's celebrate, hey? As we finish our night together, let's celebrate with a song and just thank God for what He's done.
Let's stand and praise Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the message today brought to you by Bay Life Church. We hope the message leaves you feeling challenged and inspired to live out your Christian walk. Please tune in again for next week's message.